I was telling Michael, I said, we could just keep singing that. Sometimes we will. Y'all can sit down if you want. You don't have to, but you can sit down if you want. We're going to try this mic thing again this Sunday. And if y'all want to go to Children's Church with Miss Tracy, now's the time to go. So I remembered this Sunday, Miss Tracy. If you have your Bibles, you can start heading over to Revelation 21, and we'll get over there. Revelation 21, I'm going to read the first couple verses. If you're following, I'm still driving my ESV here lately, so whichever model you're driving, you'll be all right. Somebody asked me recently again about a version of the Bible they had, and is this what I should be reading? And I mean, there's a lot of good translations out there. And I assured them, yeah, it's a good one. And people often ask, well, which version of the Bible should I read? I was like, the one you got? You have one? It's probably a good one. Just read that one. You know, if you look at the world today, people don't understand what's happening, and often they see just craziness. But if you read your Bible, you'll know why things are happening. Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. I'm going to get to a quote here in a little while, but the idea is that we're going for today is this thought of being open on the Godward side. A friend of mine, a preacher I guess I was probably in high school when I met him, and I've known him to this day, wonderful man. And he has a quote, and when he'll pray, I say he has a quote. He has a way of praying and asking people when we pray. He said, let's turn our hearts inward and Godward. And I know he got it from another place or two. I don't know if this is the exact place, but I've heard that said before. You've probably said it. I've probably said it before because, you know, when people influence you. You know, turn your heart inward and Godward, right? Well, if the Lord's on the inside when you turn inward, you're going to turn Godward a little bit too, right? If he's in there. And the promise we have in the Bible is that when you trust the Lord as your Savior, he gives you his Spirit to dwell within you. And because in real time now what's happened with the cross, even though it took place before the foundation of the world, now that right in real time has been given to us. And it was waited. We waited for it, right? That's the church when it was born. Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem. Tarry for me, wait for me, and I will send you my Spirit. And then you'll know the church has been birthed. This was how it would happen. He didn't say, hey, here in Jerusalem, preach the word until I send the Spirit, right? No. He didn't say, hey, and sing songs to me, loud, and write music until I give you my Spirit. No. You stand up and read the Torah. The Torah, sorry, I watched Frisco Kid this past week. It's a great movie. A lot of language in it, though, even though it's old. But what? I'm not endorsing it, by the way. Not endorsing it. Just if you want to know, I learned about it through a guy named Derek Prince, which also said, hey, it's got a lot of language in it. Don't expose yourself to it if you want. But his point he was making, if you want to know how a Jewish rabbi thinks, it's a great movie to show you some of that in a theatrical way. It's actually very accurate in that standpoint, if you want to know. And this was from a guy who lived in Israel, understood Greek, understood Hebrew, lived with the Jewish people in real time, okay? And he said this was kind of an example, but anyway, it's really funny too. Anyway, I shouldn't endorse it. I'm not endorsing it, just saying I was able to enjoy it. But anyway, That's all it takes for me to get a rabbit trail going is to say the word Torah. And then we're just right back around to loose ends. It's okay. We'll be all right. We'll land the plane eventually. Y'all know that. Let's back up. Get all the way back. God's going to dwell inside of his people. All throughout the Old Testament, he said this was going to happen. We know of this. It's written about it. Paul pulls from the Old Testament over and over again. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" He's speaking to Christians now. If you're not a believer and you haven't trusted the Lord with your life, then his Spirit doesn't live within you. Hopefully his Spirit is haunting you every day in order that he might gain access to your soul. Yes, that's what we would pray, absolutely. But he doesn't live, he doesn't dwell inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Which is an interesting thing to add. That means if God has trusted you with his Spirit, then you have chosen to give up of yourself and let him have his way with you. And this is the gift you get as a result of that. There's an exchange that happens. It's silly to think that we're going to get from God his very Spirit to live within us, but yet not make the great exchange of giving him our own soul in return. See, that's what salvation is. He comes and he shows you how wicked your soul really is, how much of a treasonous traitor against the King of the universe you are. You realizing your sinful state, your wicked heart, and you say, yes, ultimately it's rooted in pride, and you surrender that to him, realizing that you are lost and that you're going to go to the abyss Edward was mentioning earlier and never return, never be heard from again, and forgotten for all of time. A good friend of mine, you know, was struggling with this as a young kid, not so much in that he didn't want, he knew God, believed in God, and he'd been raised in a believing home, but he was really struggling with that. You know, you go to Romans 9, read these things, and he said, "So, Mom, if I did choose not to give my soul to the Lord and I don't go to heaven and I'm in hell, won't you be sad? Won't you be crying? Won't you miss me?" And the word of God is true because it says all those who go to hell are forgotten. And she looked at him and said it wrecked him to the soul I couldn't believe that she had said this almost, but she said it and it just went straight to the core of him. She said, "Jesus loves me so much and he cares that I would not be in agony for all eternity so much that God will erase the very memory of you from my mind and I'll never know you even existed." Those who go to hell choose to go there. It's not like people go there kicking and screaming, or they get there and like, "Oh, I give up, I repent." That's not what happens. Remember that Jesus is the story of Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man is in hell giving orders. Not, "Hey, forgive me of my sin. What do I need to do to repent and get out of this place?" No, he's like, "Oh man, this is a bad deal. Like, I traded some stocks and it went badly. Go tell my brothers not to do this. Doesn't work out so good." See, he doesn't have a repentant heart. If anything, he's more prideful against God, more angry, more in his rights that I shouldn't be here. Who do you think you are? C.S. Lewis says people go to hell who want to go there. They don't go there kicking and screaming with a sorrowful heart and repentance and remorse. That doesn't happen. And you and I don't know what happens between that last breath and the next. We don't. I mean, we get people that dogmatically stand up and they say, "This is the way it is," and yet sometimes you're reading the Bible and you're like, "Wait a minute, but that's not in here." Right? I ask the question all the time, when did John the Baptist get saved? Right? For the people who are so dogmatic, you'll remember the day and the moment and the time. And when did John the Baptist get saved? Excuse me? Did somebody tell me? When did Peter get saved? Get saved, you know. When was that moment he came to know the Lord? I mean, you can argue there are points, but he was on a path, right? I mean, before he's on the seashore saying, "Lord, forgive me for the time he denied Christ," right? Before even that, remember, Jesus goes to the mountain, he's asking the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" People say I'm all these things. They say, what do people say that I am? And they respond to him. And then he says, And then he says, well, who do you say that I am? And you know, Peter, Simon, stands right up. You are the Christ, right? And Jesus says, good, Simon, I have not shown you this. My Father in heaven showed you this. So he knew the truth. God had revealed this to him. Was that the moment Peter got, quote unquote, saved? Is Peter in heaven? No. He got saved, right?